Appreciate your prayers. I'm thinking tonight about being empty. And I pray that the Lord would help us. We might be able to get this thought the way the Lord would have it. When we take extensive trips from home, one of the things that I'm concerned about on the way is that there's gas in the van. And when it's up on full, and I know that there's about 400 miles in that, well, I feel pretty good about it. But as the miles go on and I see that hand start to drop, and I start to thinking, I'm going to need to get something here somewhere. And as it gets on down there, and I rarely let it get below a quarter, because there are stretches out there sometimes that you never know. And so I think about that, and the last thing I want to do, or one of the last things I want to do, is for all of a sudden that van get to spitting and sputtering and stop, and me pull side of the road and look and it be empty. That's a bad feeling. And especially we do a lot of traveling at night, and so it's important to us to keep full, to keep filled up, to make sure there's plenty. But because we don't run out in an instant, I don't think we take the care that we ought to take with our lives. There was a scripture, won't look at it, but there was a scripture we're familiar with that talked about 10 virgins. And the scripture says that 5 of them virgins were wise and 5 were foolish. I think we all are in the category, one or the other. One of those categories is going to take in everybody here tonight. Well, which one are you? Wisdom says that certain things are going to cause certain things. That's what wisdom really is. It's the ability to look at what is and see what will be. The scripture says a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands, and so shall your poverty come. So that's wisdom to say, you know what, if I don't get out there and work a little bit and do a little bit, I'm going to get hungry. I'm going to have some bad places in my life because I haven't took care of things, and wisdom tells us that. Wisdom will also tell us that if I don't take care of my spiritual man, my inward man, he's going to dry up. So within the category of the virgins, there were 5 wise that said in their lives, I need to make sure. I'm sensitive to the idea of running out. And you know, probably if you neglect to pay the Lord, you're saved and you neglect to pay the Lord the proper attention tomorrow, there's a good likelihood you'll still be saved tomorrow evening. But you better not be in the habit of that. Because wisdom's going to tell us not to do that. Wisdom's going to tell us to have a heart towards God. Make sure that I don't get into the place that I would even want to do something like that. That a day could go by that my heart isn't to the Lord is a dangerous place to allow my heart to get. It's dangerous. There is an enemy that we all face. It's called lethargy. And it takes more people than anything else does. Because incrementally, little by little, line upon line, people become indifferent to the things of God. They become indifferent to the convictions that they once held. They become indifferent to standards that once meant something and convictions that they held dear to their lives. And all of a sudden they don't mean what they used to. Or it doesn't seem as important whether I pray or I don't pray. It doesn't seem as important as I meditate or I don't meditate. Oh, it's Wednesday night. It doesn't hold that much for me. Oh, they're having a revival, but I've been to them before. It's okay, and I can feel a little something sometimes, but it doesn't mean that much. Lord, help us tonight. Because one of the biggest enemies, I believe this tonight, that probably one of the things that gets to our people the most. We look and see all the circumstances and see all the things, but it's probably a lack of desire and passion that causes our people to drift away. Lost the real intensity of serving God. Tonight, don't be empty. It means something to keep your life going for God. I want to look at a scripture in the 122nd Psalm. Oh, just one verse here. It's a familiar verse. This was the song of David. And he says in the first verse, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said that. I was glad to get the opportunity. You know, I notice, I might mention a little observations of the eye, but I've noticed, I can't help from noticing, but there's a lot of desire lacking about saying, I'm glad that it's service night. I'm glad that it's time to go. I want to go. I desire to go. I've noticed, and Lord help me here, but I've noticed that even some of the faithful seems like that they're allowing more and more lesser excuses. Be an excuse for not going. Remember a buddy of mine one time told me that he knew a guy that they asked him why he didn't go to church on Sunday night. He said, because I was out of peanut butter. I said, well, what difference would that make? Well, none really, but he said, one excuse is as good as another. If I'm just going to make an excuse, because really there is not much of an excuse for it. That's what he was trying to say. But I've noticed that, and it isn't my place. Really, it's not. You know what? That's way out of the ballpark. Because you didn't have to tell David, why didn't you go? Because he said, I was glad. I'm glad. We oughtn't have to monitor. We oughtn't monitor one another. We oughtn't do those things. We oughtn't do it. But we oughtn't have to do it. Understand? Because what I'm trying to say is this is individual and personal, and it's about my salvation. And it's about me having something and about me saying, I desire to hear the songs of Zion sung. It's been a few days. I need to hear them. I need to give my heart to this. I'm glad when it comes time for it. I need to refill. I need to have my passion go, my desire go. You don't have to try to tell, oh, you fans, it's football day. And when the ones that don't go can't go, it isn't that they were saying, well, I'm glad I got an excuse not to go. No, it hurts not to go because they want to go. It's a passion. It's a desire. My burden tonight is don't be empty. Because the most miserable life you'll try to live is living one for God empty. It isn't fun. It isn't fun to just think, well, I got to do this. I ain't going to go to service. And sitting and while there in my prayer many Sunday mornings is, Lord, help us to put aside the cares of life for a few hours, that we might concentrate and get what you have for us. Help us to be able to put away work and this duty and this thing and that thing, that I might be able to get something of God. David said, I was glad. I was glad Lord, help us that we're glad. And it's a good gauge tonight. Are you glad? Can you honestly say, I'm glad for Sunday morning? Oh, the old flesh don't want to move sometimes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm glad. I do it with zeal, and I do it with that, Lord, I'm glad. Thank you. You know, there's places that Christians are being persecuted to death. They can't meet together. Lord, I'm glad that we can. Lord, I'm glad for when a time comes that it's time to go to the house of the Lord. David says more than that here, though. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. You know, it's easy enough to say, David, you ought to go. I'm going to send my wife and children. It'd be good for them. No, but David said, I was glad because not only was I glad to get to go to the house, but I'm glad that the people that I'm with have the desire. It encourages me. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if your Wednesday night prayer meetings are drab, somebody's responsible for putting some fire in there. And don't look at me because I'm not going to be here. I'll be somewhere and it may be my responsibility there. But you know what a little fire will do to it? It makes it enjoyable. It makes it worth being there. Lord, help us tonight. We are giving our hearts to something that is better than all everything else out there. But if we're not careful, we do it with such... Oh, well. Oh, I'm going to go. And I hope it turns out well. But am I putting my heart into it? Have I been talking with the Lord? Have I noticed what the Lord's been doing for me? Lord, help us that we don't run empty. Five were wise and they understood what it meant. Five were foolish and never understood what it meant. To have it on hand. They had the qualities of religion, no doubt. But they didn't really have the oil that made them have what they really should have had. And tonight I have a desire in my heart because I have a vision. I have a vision of life in God for the people of God. And a desire that this is what I long to do. This is what I want to do. This is what my heart is to serve God. I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad to see the people around me. Praise the Lord. And as a side, I'm going to tell you something I've been learning. It is valuable to praise the Lord. We ought to be a people. I have endeavored to thank the Lord throughout the day. And especially when those frustrating things happen. And I'm going to tell you, it feels so good to tell the Lord how much you love and appreciate Him at that time. And when you feel the frustration that would have built mount away because you appreciate the Lord, I'm going to tell you there's victory. In just habiting ourselves to have God on hand. To say, thank the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that. You trip and fall. I've done it. And it hurt or something happened. But then comes this flood. I fell because I could walk. Thank God I can walk. I was out here and something happened and I thanked the Lord. I just smashed my finger between two logs that I was getting my firewood and I thought, I smashed my fan. Thank God that I've got the health to get that firewood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I don't want to incrementally run out. So I keep filling up. God, I get some more here. Well, it'd be a little odd for me to fill up, and then just drive down to Guthrie and pull in again to fill up because I'm so. No, that's what I'm talking about. I trust the Lord more than that. He can keep us through our things, but I'm always wanting more. Lord, I'm afraid of running out. Help me to have and not lose the passion and desire that drives our lives. We can get ourselves off on a lot of things, folks. And what happens is, and it's because we have life to live. I could only guess. Brother Leslie's, I know, served the Lord over 50 years. Probably closer to 60. Or going for it. Right, Brother Leslie? That's a long, long time to serve the Lord. A lot of things happen in life through that time. I remember just when I just been first saved and such, oh, I just wanted the Lord so much. I wanted to learn the Word. I wanted to understand. It was just live and it was all, years piled on years and trials upon trials, and you get wore out and wore down, and you get back up and you go again and and life happens. If you ain't careful, after a while, it sure don't seem like it used to. And that's when the light flashes. That's what my van does when that engine light says check engine. Check engine. There's a light. There should be. Lord, why am I feeling like I could just stay home here on Wednesday night just as well as go? I didn't used to feel that way. No. I want, Lord, you got something for me. I want to go get that. And the light's flashing, saying, be careful, Marty. Be careful. You're losing something that's valuable to you. Because when you forget, when you lose the want to, it won't be long till you lose it. So Lord, help us tonight to seek God more for our desire. Lord, don't allow my desire for you and for the kingdom, don't allow it to diminish in my life. Help me daily to keep getting my desire restored. I want to look at a scripture. Oh, let's see. Over in 2 Samuel. There was men in the scriptures that saw God. We do too. It's just the way it's written. God helped David kill a lion and a bear. He knew that was God. God was with him. And God helped David slay the giant. No, that must have been something that's he said he was young and ruddy. Wasn't very big, it didn't sound like. Took down the great giant. What honor went to him. He didn't say it was him. He said it would come in the name of the Lord. But the Lord worked miracles in his life. And it must have been astounding for him to say, my God is a God. My God is the great God. But even through all that, see, the Bible doesn't tell us of all the days that he didn't kill giants. He didn't run from Saul's spear all the time. After a while, even the great things that happened and all the things that happened, you look and say, because I look at my life like that sometimes. I've had my babies healed right in my arms while I held them. Ain't a doubt in my mind. While I prayed, I felt the fever just run right out my arms. God, the glory of God. And I just prayed. I've experienced God a lot of ways. And I ain't telling the saints anything. You all know how God has been so real. But you know what? Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. I've been on the mountains. Been in the valleys. But life seems to drain something from us, folks. And we need to make sure that we keep ourselves filled up. And David had that kind of experience, I believe. The scripture doesn't tell all those things, but he had his ups and downs and all those trials. But then there come life too. In the 11th chapter, Second Samuel starts out this way. It says, and it come to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him,
and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still at Jerusalem.
This was the young lad that wanted to see the battle. Understand what I'm saying? Jesse sent him up there with the corn and the cheese to give it to them. But this was the young guy that went up there and was, what's going on? What's the battle about? Got something in here. You ain't gonna keep me away from this thing. You will keep me out of this. But now, the years have played on David's life. And now David, he's fought battles, folks. David's been into battles. He's fought battles. Yeah, you know what? Joab, y'all don't need me. You go on up and take care of that for us. You don't need me. I've seen enough battles. I think I'll just stay here. I've been feeling a little tired. Honey, you go on to service tonight. I don't know. I'm kind of stiff. You know, stiffness, headaches, winter storms didn't keep me out of service when I was first saved. I would drive over two major mountain divides, and I ain't bragging. I was desperately hungry for the Word of God. And I would drive over there in the middle of snowstorms. And they would actually at times, they told me later, would actually say at times, well, don't you think we ought to call service off? It's awful snowy out there. And Brother Sam would say, I don't know. What if the folks from Webster County come over the mountains and come? We better at least open the doors. You know why? I'm hungry. I need something. Felt empty through the week. And I wondered what the Lord had for me. I wasn't trying to prove nothing to nobody. I was just desperate. You know what? David got to a place that he didn't want to buy a battle anymore. But wait a minute, David. What did God call you for? He called him a warrior. That's what I got you for. You're a warrior. And David says, I think I'll send you, Joab. You don't need me. You guys are military enough. You know, David made a huge mistake. And I think the mistake was in the fact that he let his desire for God and God's work and God's cause diminish in his life. You can't read it that way, but it seems so obvious because listen to the way it says that. But he tarried at Jerusalem. And it come to pass in the evening tide that David arose off of his bed and walked up on the roof of the king's house. I don't know. I've looked to see if there was a cultural reason for these folks to be in bed in the evening time. Because there ain't no culture in my world. You sleep at night. Evening tide and he's in his bed. Folks, you understand what kind of a... Lord help us. Be up and doing. He's on his bed. He has to get up off his bed. Lord help. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And we know the story of David and what had happened in him and the thing that happened. But you know why I think it happened? And especially young people, listen to me. I think everybody, listen to me. It's called boredom. We all need something. I want something going on in my life. Don't you? Don't you need something going on in your life? And what happens when there's really nothing going on in my life? I need something to stir up my life. I want to listen to something. I want to see something. I want to experience something. Give me something. And if it isn't the Lord's something, it's going to be the devil's something. And so he wasn't battling. He wasn't doing what he should have been doing. He wasn't doing the Lord's bidding. So now he's going to do the devil's bidding. He should have been, his eyes should have been on his business. His eyes should have been on the Lord. His eyes should have been doing what he's supposed to be doing. But now his eyes is on his woman. That's the way it works, folks. If we don't keep ourselves in the Lord's way, we're going to get ourselves in the devil's way. If I don't keep my life active in the Lord and excitable, I'm excitable, Lord, when you speak, I'm excited. Lord, yes, I am meaningful. I long to feel your touch. I long to hear your word. I long to do that. I want to, and when I don't feel it, I push to find it again. I want to find it again. See what I'm saying? It isn't time. Brother Sammons used to say about people many times, they would get into a bad way, and then they would quit going to service. And that, and he said, no, that's when you should go. He said, people quit right when they should get going. He said, people quit praying right when they should be praying. He's trying to encourage the people, no, right now is your time to get going. Get some passion. Get some desire back in your life. Because if you don't have it for the Lord, you're going to have it for something. And David, probably one of the biggest black marks in all the scriptures, was performed by one of the most faithful men. David finished well, and he had quite a life. But this was an awfully ugly scene for one that was a man of God. He committed adultery. He lied. He connived. He murdered. All to get his thrills, to fill the flesh, to excite his life, and all because God wasn't the focus of it. And when he went and repented in 51 of the Psalms, you read it, he's changing that. Give me back the spirit. Give me back the desire. Give me back all that I had before. You know what? This is why many, many people have a continual process of repenting and no victory. Because they see the need and the desire and the want to. But they don't follow it up. I've been amazed at this, folks. And I hope you get my burden. That we have a desire to serve the Lord. I've seen people that got away from the Lord that come back to the Lord and made a start for the Lord. And it seemed like it was such a good start for the Lord. And we said, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord they got back. They come and prayed and repented and come back. Then Wednesday night, I'm so excited to hear their testimony. And they don't come. And I sink in my spirit because you know what I know? They've lost something. They've lost something. Because the desire should be there. And it's almost foolproof. You'll see it. When it doesn't, you'll see it. Just, Lord, help us. Over in Joshua, the 14th chapter of Joshua, this was sixth verse, the second half of it, Caleb's talking. And he says, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea, 40 years. Kadesh Barnea, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord
my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Caleb saw it right, done it right, followed the Lord with his whole heart, gave totally to the Lord, and he got penalized anyway. With the ones that didn't. But it didn't sound like his heart failed. 45 years. That's most of a lifetime for most of us. That he was with these people. You think of that. That's a lot of time. 45 years. But you know, Caleb had something. He comes back to this place after 45 years. And I'm going to tell you, he's got it. Just like I had it before, I still have it. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when God blessed your soul? Do you remember what fervency you had and desire that I'm going to go all the way by your grace, God? Nothing's too big. Nothing's too much. Whatever I told the Lord, Lord, you save me and I'll do whatever you want me to do. Without reservations, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do whatever you want to do. You want me to do. I still mean it. Somebody asked me recently, said, you know, most people backslide somewhere in their life when they're saved kind of young, and most people backslide and they come back, and he said, didn't you? No. No, I've had my times up and down and those kind of things. I'm going to tell you. You know, I've never really ever wanted to go back. I've never wanted that before, what I had. God, the salvation's what I want. That's so much better. I've never wanted to turn around, and I've struggled with the things that's around me, but I've never wanted to say, Lord, I'm giving up. I'm going back. That's it. Oh, no. Never that. 45 years, I remembered where I remember what my eyes had seen when I was over there. I remember where I was. I remember what was promised to me. I remember how the Lord's blessed me in my life. No. It's been 45 years. And I still got a vision. You got a vision? You, whoever you, me, we can make a difference with God. Do we have the same want to? Do I still have a desire in my heart? I meant it. Lord, I want to die for you. I know it's big words, but I've told the Lord. Lord, I know my life's a vapor. Do it to your own glory. I want my life to mean something for God. I still do. Lord, help us. Help us to have something that we can see beyond what all around us in this world and have a desire for it. The world knows how to do it. You know, the Apostle Paul used a lot of sports analogies. Galatians 5, he said to the Galatians, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Oh, you had zeal. You had fervency. You had holiness. You had the grace of God. You had the desire. You fought through all of these things and through the world and all the things around Galatia. But something hindered you. Something began to work on you and cause you to have a different mind and heart. What was it? There's a lot of things. We live in a world of plenty. Did anybody go hungry today? If you would have, you'd have probably been praying.
We're in that kind of a land. It's the blessings of the Lord, but folks, we need to have a desire above that. That'll cause us to lay it aside if we have to. That'll cause us to want to, Lord, help us. We know how to be. We do well a lot of times when we're humbled or put down. But Paul said, I know how to both suffer need. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. There's times when abounding floods me. And I know how to live that way. I know I've learned the secret of how to where to put that and still have God active in my life. I know how. We need to know how to abound. We need to have desire for God throughout this life of indifference that's around us. Convictions of our society. You can't count on the conviction societal walls anymore. Because there's not any convictions in our society hardly anymore. You can't count on that. Lord, help me to have a desire to serve God with all my heart. Caleb says, and I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85 years old. And that's the time that retirement has kicked in. I'm gonna get my Winnebago and I'm gonna kick back and I'm gonna live the rest of my days with my feet up. But Caleb said, I'm 85. But I still got a spark in my eye. I still got grit in my teeth. I still got a desire for God just like I was when I was a young man. God has kept my strength. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. You know, when I first got into the ministry, I really just wanted the Lord to help me and those kind of things. And we had Sister Tinsley in our congregation, and she was I used to call her high maintenance. She was a high maintenance saint. She was a good saint, but she was just high maintenance. She needed a lot of attention. She needed a lot of prayer. And I told Brother Sammons, well, tell her to call me. Tell her to call me. I need to know how to pray. I need to know how to labor at 3 o'clock in the morning. I need to be able to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe you do too. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. It's good. It's a good thing. No, I failed. I remember one time I felt so bad about it. Sister Tinsley called. And when she first started doing it, I was diligent. I was diligent. And one time she called and Brother Marty, I need prayer. And I said, all right, you want me to come up? No, not. I know you got to work tomorrow. Just have prayer for me. Okay, I'll have prayer for you. And I woke up at about 7 o'clock the next morning thinking, oh, I didn't pray for her. I went right back to sleep. But my heart was, I desired the experience. You know what I'm saying? I wanted the experience of God meeting me in my prayers. I wanted those things in my life. I didn't want to retire off. I still don't want to retire off. I don't think you ought to want to retire off. There's no retirements in this. You can't retire. That's foolish, virgins. That's foolish. You got to push. You got to press. You got to have desire for God even when you get older. Sometimes y'all, I've done it. I've seen it. It don't seem as important. Yes, it is. You need to have desire to pray those other ones in. We need prayer warriors. We need saints. We need people that's got God working with them. And it'll fire us up. I have a vision of the saints being more alive, see, and having a desire. Oh, I don't imagine we'll ever compete with some of these fans of these sports things. But we ought to give it a shot. We ought to give it a shot. They don't drag in late for it. Hey! They want to see every play. They ain't about to miss the opening kickoff or the opening pitch. That's the main part. Get it going. We'll stay and eat lunch and wait on it to happen. We'll get in there and drive for it. Is this important at all? Lord, help our desire. To think that there's people in the world that still walk days to go to a service. There's people that just longing to see somebody that's a minister of the gospel to share the word with them. Oh, what? I'm telling you, it fires ministers up. Oh, I've been in those places, in those tent meetings sometimes when there's people there that's so hungry for the Lord. They're just so hungry for it. I'm going to tell you, it makes preaching easy. Because they're there with it. Gonna get it. Lord, help us. As yet, I am this day. I'm as strong this day as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now. For war. You know, war takes a lot of strength and a lot of energy. But he was saying, I got a promise. I got a promise, and God's promise that he's going to be with me, and there's ground that belongs to me. You know, we don't war the same way today, but we war. And there's ground that has been promised to us. The Lord has, this is just the shadow of the reality, but there's a part of the gospel land that belongs to us. There's victories that belongs to us. There is ground that is peaceful that we need to gain. There is places that the devil has the ground in our lives that God wants to give back to us. There's bitternesses in people's hearts. There's envies. There's strugglings and all those kind of things. I marvel at this. And I don't want to be this way. But I've seen it. And I ask this question of you. Do you want to live for the Lord 50 years and never conquer that ground? Do you want to be an old woman or an old man and been saved for 50, 60 years and still be jealous and covetous and envious and not be able to get along with people? You want to have all these attributes in your life? You want to have that? You know, God wants to give the victory. God gives the ground. Caleb said, I promised an inheritance of God. You have an inheritance of God tonight. It's holiness. It's righteousness. It's right thought. It's understandings. It's wisdom. Both to go out and to come in. It's strength to work. Strength to go, still able to do it. Now therefore, this is famous words. Now therefore, give me this mountain. I want that mountain. I want my mountain. I want to see the Lord in 2014. I know he's alive and working. Has God been working for anybody? I'm telling you, the Lord's been doing some stuff for us. I've seen the Lord doing stuff. I just thank the Lord. I just say thank the Lord. God can work dates, times, events, mesh them all together. I just see God working. Give me that mountain. Give me, Lord, the desire back. I want my mountain. Yeah, you know what? The mountain? Mountain's steep. It's got some rugged place on it. You get up on it, it's beautiful, and you can see a lot. I mean, it's got its qualities. But it takes something for those mountains. And there's somebody else lives there, too. And you're going to have to go get it. And you're going to have to say, this is mine. And I want it. And I'm going to take it, Lord, by your grace and help. I'm going to take what belongs to me. But you know what it takes? It takes desire. Without desire, we're never going to do it. Without passion, we're never going to do it. The whole idea of the gospel is set up on the premise of a want to with all my heart. Brother Clifford Wilson used to say up our place, he used to say it a lot. You can go to heaven if you want to with all your heart. So give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in the day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. You got the vision? You see the place? Oh, there was other scriptures that I thought about when I thought about this. I thought about the way. Remember Elisha? Elijah come along and called Elisha. And Elisha went and prepared his things and he followed along. And Elijah says to Elisha, I'm going over here. Now you tarry here and you stay, and I'm going over here. And Elisha says, Lord, if you go, I go. And he went. And he went there, and the prophet there said, Don't you know your master's going to be taken from you today? He said, be quiet. I know. Be quiet. Elijah says to him again, I'm going over here. And you tarry here while I go over here. Not so, Lord. It's all a test for Elijah. It wasn't disobedience. It was a test for Elijah. Elijah, are you going to follow or not? I'm following. I won't be deterred. I'm going with you. You go, I go. So finally he said, what would I do for you? Elisha says, I want a double portion of your spirit. Oh, it's a hard thing. But if you're there and see me when I go, it'll be granted to you. Now you try to shake me loose from that one. He was staying right there. And he got his blessing on him. It's because he had the passion and he proved it to God. He proved it to, I'm here. I'm here. Lord, you can count on me. I'm in this battle. I'm in for this. Lord, help me today. Because this modern world saps us a lot of ways of all of our spiritual desires. And we know it. And we need to have the Lord rekindle in us. It's what revival. Lord, help us to realize if I've lost ground, give me my mountain back. I thought of Ruth. After Ruth's husband was dead, Naomi's sons, they was just three widow women. And Naomi says to her daughter-in-laws, go back to your lands. I've nothing for you. I have no more sons. I don't have a husband to get more sons. And if I did, would you wait on them? I have nothing for you. Go back. And so the one went back. And Naomi says to Ruth, go back. Go and be with your kindred, be with your people, because I've got nothing else for you. Nothing. But Ruth had something that motivated her. A desire. I want to. You can explain it all out to Ruth. Ruth, listen. You ain't got a chance. No, Naomi can't support you. Look how bad it looks for you, Ruth. You're not supported. Naomi's not got anything for you. You're going to be a couple of widow women going around. You're going to be abused. You're going to have a bad way. Then what motivated her? She loved. She had a way of life in her now. I can't leave Naomi. My heart's knit to you. Can't break that. Do you know, folks, I fear many times that in the course of our living for the Lord, we don't really knit ourselves to the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes somebody will come along and say, I'll say, well, what happened? You know, you're not going to say you quit the Lord. And yeah, so-and-so offended me. You know, I have a real hard time understanding somebody that quits the Lord because somebody offends them. Because I got something with the Lord, folks. It has nothing to do with you. He's actually going to be the one I'm going to run to and tell if you offend me. I don't understand. And it seems to me like there's something else at work there, and people don't really knit their hearts to the Lord. And what I'm advocating tonight is that you knit your heart to the Lord. And therefore you would want all that He has. It's like a marriage. And many marriages crumble. You know why they crumble? They're not worked at daily. They're not kept alive. And because it incrementally, your marriage will survive a day of indifference. Yeah, sure. 2, 3, a week, a month, a year. How many years will your marriage really make it that way? And it's the same way with the Lord. And then Ruth said, no, I'm with you, Naomi. And you needn't say anything else. Where you go, I go. You lodge, I lodge. Your people, my people. Your God, my God. That's my heart. I'm not leaving this people. I'm not leaving this people. I'm not leaving God. I'm not leaving God's blessings, His anointing. I'm not leaving. Because there's something that drives me to it. It's a desire. Nothing really competes with it. It's what I want in my life. I'm going to finish tonight with 2 Timothy 4, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I admire the man that wrote it. Because Paul exhibited such a spirit of Christ in his life. I feel that he had such a depth. And he says in the 6th verse, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished the course, and I kept the faith." You know, it's hard to get emotion in words sometimes, but it's the way you can read it. You can read it just kind of nonchalantly, or you can read it, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. This is what I longed for. This has been my heart. I put my heart into it. And all that befell me." Folks, I was challenged with shipwrecks. I was challenged with being in the deep. Snake bites. Shunned. Stoned. Stripes. False preachers, false apostles, all of those things, but none of them moved me. None of them moved me, and now I've finished, and now I'm ready to be offered. And it doesn't sound like there's any resignation. I mean, he's resigned. It doesn't sound like there's any holding back. I have come to the end of my journey with God. You know, it's been in the news a lot about the beheading thing. It's kind of a gruesome. It ain't kind of gruesome, folks. It's terribly gruesome. But my mind went to old John the Baptist. He got his head cut off all the way. But he had the victory. Paul's facing beheading. And he says, "I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. Because I got something better than that. I started off with a desire, and it's intact. It's intact. And everything that I went through wasn't able to take my want to away. It's just grown in me. God has been so rich and good to me. It's just, I'm ready to be offered." And he says, "Henceforth,
there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me. You know, I think he still had his desire. I remember my dear old grandmother wore out, up in years, dying. I didn't see her the day she died, but I seen her just before that. And I remember her being bedfast. I remember her wore out. And I remember her saying to me, "I'm tired. I'm tired. And I want to go home. I just want to go and be with the Lord." I was so impressed by the lack of struggling in her heart. I'm resigned. I'm tired of life. I'm tired of the things. My body's tired. And I long to go be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because through her life, she had her struggles and her desire to serve God. And it come down to the end. And all that, she wasn't the same. She's an old woman now. But the desire was still there. All through that, the desire was still there. Brother Vader McMillan was always a real... he was just such a blessing and a challenge to me. And the reason why it was because he didn't have a testimony of just a few days. He had endured the years of his life. And when you went and talked to him, I did a number of times, I love to go talk to him, his desire for God had been kept. He still loved the scriptures. He still loved the things of God. You could just talk to him and he just loved and radiated. To me, just radiated the things of God. He was faithful. He loved the Lord. And because he did, there was something that he had that he endured the years with. And he was faithful. And folks, we all are in that same kind of a place. And may we be faithful. The years may still come. We don't know how much we'll have. We don't know what might come. And we look sometimes and we say, radical Islam. And we look at all these things that may challenge us. But I'm going to tell you what's going to challenge your spirituality more than that. Because I'm going to tell you, when those people come with the sharp knives, I'm going to be praying, really praying, that I'll have it right. But you know what? It's lethargy that's going to get you. It's indifference about God that's going to get you, really get you. That's really an enemy today. And I see it, travel a lot, different places, and I see a lot of what looks to me like is just lethargy and indifference, not much desire. I pray tonight that the Lord, if you've lost anything tonight, I pray that the Lord would help us be able to find it and get it back. You pray for me.